Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad, Robbie Falk, and Lady Falk joining us here on a Tuesday morning.
Just however you got to do it.
This is a good day to be watching Thunder and Lightning on our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Super Talk YouTube channel and get all of our content, but specifically Thunder and Lightning. Wherever you are, thanks for making us part of your day at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our service minimum out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Auburn.
That would be really weird, but
Wouldn't it be
the only thing in Starkville to go to Auburn, I guess.
It wouldn't be the only part of Mississippi that's in Auburn right this second.
Where is Auburn, Mississippi? I don't know if I've ever encountered that.
Let's find out. Auburn, Mississippi is an unincorporated community in Lincoln County, approximately 5.6 miles east-northeast of Smithdale, near U.S. Route 98.
South Mississippi,
yeah. Southwest Mississippi, yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
Wherever you are in our great state.
I'll be there next.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you have been wanting to cook out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. It's hot outside. That means it's prime time grilling season. So do it up with beef. You'd be like the Falk family and throw some picanha out there on the grill. I mean, my goodness, that's high dollar beef. But you don't even have to spend a whole lot of money to have a great meal with beef. It's inexpensive. There's so many great cuts. It's all right there for you. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I know that you're looking for it. You need new gear. You need the M over S. You need the state script. You definitely need the interlocking. It's all right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet. Flowed by the Half Shell. Or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. For lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. If you are looking for a fantastic night out, a dinner at Restaurant Tyler is about the best you can do here in the city of Starkville. Enjoy a great steak, pasta, chicken. If you're a vegetarian, they've got you covered. And for dessert, the stuffed pancake is the best one in this city. If you want to enjoy a great night out, if you want to have a special occasion, you don't have to have an anniversary or a first date or anything like that. Just go to Restaurant Tyler. That's the special occasion at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to our friends at Priority One Bank. They're going to give you a level of service you can only get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We're going to start the show with an acknowledgement, not of our tribal chief, if anything like that, but
who's our tribal chief now? I feel like he's not around.
Even when he's away, it's still rolling.
Is it about to be Jacob Fatu?
Well, we'll see. We all know what's going on with Oklahoma. Joe Castiglione going to retire. Zach Selman will be connected to that job. But, I mean, I had somebody text me today, like, hearing anything serious on that. I'm like, it's been 10 minutes. literally tweeted it 10 minutes ago. What do you want?
And isn't he playing out the whole – like athletic year?
Yeah. So let's just wait and see. We'll talk about it when we need to talk about it. Today is not the day that we need to talk about it. But you know, obviously keep it on your brain. It's fine. What we are going to talk about today is we got to get into some breakdowns positionally here on the show. We haven't done that. We're a little bit behind. We'll just do two a week for the next few weeks. I smell trouble.
She's just going to sit down on this chair.
Bring her in.
No, we're good.
Okay. I'll tell you, folks, if you're not watching on YouTube, you're missing drama.
This Becky just had to go back to work, didn't she?
Yeah, if you needed a babysitter, you should have hollered at me. I'd have sent Emily over there, and I could have made some of your money.
I ain't spending no money right now.
I know. That's what I'm saying, though. Today's our first day at Churn and Spoon.
Oh, she's working at Churn and Spoon.
Yeah.
I'm going to get some ice cream from her.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give her a really complicated order as well.
Uh-huh. I'm going to tell her, look, if he doesn't tip you, you tweet about it, and I'll retweet.
Oh, I tip well.
All right, I'll retweet you. It's cheap, Robbie Faulk. Anyway, let's catch up on some positional stuff. Let's start with the quarterbacks. And this is a good room. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough show. I can't.
Oh boy.
Man. She's doing this number. Make her stop. I can't. She's just doing this. She's doing that thing that I like to do sometimes where I like get out of the frame.
Yeah.
Lean back in. Yeah.
She's getting in the frame.
Yeah. So anyway, let's talk quarterbacks. Blake Shapen, Luke Crumenhawk, Kamario Taylor. This is a solid room. It's a little short on experience, but I don't think it's short on talent. You can make a pretty strong case that the guy who's going to be the starter might be the least talented guy in the room in terms of just the physical tools that he has. But there's no reason to think that State won't be competitive at the quarterback position. Even with Shapen going down last year, I thought Van Buren, for a true freshman playing on a team that was getting zero help from its defense, I thought he was about as good as you could probably have hoped for. So I have a lot of faith that if something does go wrong with Shapen, that Crumenhawk can come in and be the guy there. Obviously, I'm very excited about the potential of Kamario Taylor. But Shapen being the number one guy, there's no reason to think that he won't be productive if he stays healthy this season.
Yeah, and I think that's always the caveat with him is can he stay healthy? I mean, we talked about it last year preseason. This isn't a new development with him. We talked last year about can he stay healthy for a full season? Because if he can't, State's in trouble. And quite frankly, they were. I thought Van Buren performed well, but I didn't think that you got your best potential offensively with Michael Van Buren in the game. I felt like Blake Shapen was the guy that needed to have the keys in that situation. And it's kind of the same thing. Like I think Van Buren is probably – he probably has a higher ceiling as an athlete than Blake Shapen does. But Shapen's probably more capable at that point in his career of running that offense. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing this year. I think that Shapen, best-case scenario for you, I really feel, is redshirting Kamario Taylor, letting him learn for a season, and then next year competing for the starting job. I mean, this year, I hate to say it, but it's kind of a throwaway year anyway. I mean, we're talking best case scenario for a lot of people is 6-6, and that's very, very best case. It's very difficult to find 7 wins on this schedule. It's difficult to find 6. So best case is 6-6. This is kind of a year that's kind of a rebuilding, another rebuilding year for them. So it really feels like the best case for Kamario Taylor is to redshirt and Luke Crumenhawk probably get some reps this year and that become a big time quarterback battle next year. Now, if Kamario Taylor's in the game, I probably feel better about the quarterback situation this year than I did last year.
Yeah, I agree with
that. As far as ceiling and the type of player that Kamario Taylor is. Like I think he's a better quarterback than Michael Van Buren.
I agree with that. What another thing I find kind of interesting is you think back to this time a year ago, right? Because we were having those discussions about Shapen staying healthy. We just thought that, okay, if Shapen goes down, it'll be Chris Parson that takes over. I don't think I was surprised when Van Buren was the first guy off the bench when Chapin got hurt. And I think that Cromwell Hawk is the first guy off the bench if he gets hurt. I think that's the main reason they brought him in, was like to have an insurance policy to, hey, if something does go wrong with Chapin, we don't have to throw Kamario Taylor out there into the fire. But at the same time, if talent wins out, there is it's a not zero chance that Taylor could be the first guy that gets action should something go wrong.
And man, he looked good in the spring game. I mean, just the few possessions you got out of him. I mean, you can see it. It pops off pretty easily. And that's a guy that is a year behind Cromwell Hawk. Cromwell Hawk played Power Four football last year and started. And this guy is a couple of months removed from playing high school football and playing in the state championship for Noxubee County.
Yeah.
If he's in the game, I don't have a whole lot of concerns. I just feel like it's better for his long-term development if he's able to learn under Blake Chapin.
Agreed.
It's a better situation for Mississippi State. It's always going to be better if you have three quarterbacks opposed to two. So yeah, I get the fans that they want to just go ahead and see Kamario, but I just think it's better for Mississippi State long-term if you have a situation where Blake Chapin stays healthy. He's a great leader. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes, so he's going to make a lot of good decisions for you in there. Hopefully, he makes good decisions for himself too. He takes care of his body. But if you do see Luke Cromwell Hawk go in the game again, that's a guy that started for Florida State last year as a true freshman. If Kamari Taylor goes in the game, that's a guy that we all believe has the potential to be one of the greats at Mississippi State when it's all said and done. So Jeff Lebby has put them in a really good situation here. And I'm not saying it's like a can't lose thing, because I mean, they're still going to have their struggles, but I feel like whoever they put at quarterback, if somebody gets hurt or whatever, they will have a good quality quarterback out there, and also a guy that's a good athlete that can do multiple things for you.
What do we think stats wise, numbers wise for Chapin if he stays healthy? Or, I think one thing for sure, from a rushing yard perspective, I think they would want him under like 300. I think they really want to limit him in the running game this year. But from a passing game perspective, 3,000 feels very generous. But if he's at 2,600, 2,700, I think that's okay, because I expect State to be able to run the football with Booth and Bothwell and Daniels and those guys. So, if State's averaging 220 a game passing and they can get 220 a game on the ground, that they'll be fine. I mean, well, I probably overshot the mark there. I got to look and see what the SEC totaled offense was a season ago. What would 440 yards a game have been? But by and large, I just feel like this is going to be what did I say, 440? That would have been fourth. That's probably a little high. So let's say, 220 and 200 on the ground. Now we're talking about you're like sixth or seventh. Because that's where I
That's a
want
great
this.
radio here.
That's where I want this. It's a podcast, technically. That's where I want this offense to be. I want them to be six, seven, eight. If they're in that range and the defense moves up to the 12, 13, 14 range, I really do feel like this can be a bowl team. But that's where they've got to be. And so if Chapin can, what would 220 yards a game have been last year? Would have been, if I'm doing the math right here, eighth in the league, and 200 yards rushing would have been good for second. Maybe I'm setting my thoughts a little high. Maybe I am. But I really do believe that that 400 between 400 and 425 yards a game is a acceptable and potential number that this offense can reach. So what we're saying, 2,600, 20 to 25 touchdowns, and you'd like your interceptions to be, 12 or under. And I think that's a good spot for Mississippi State. Can Chapin do that?
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? But I like this year, you look at the numbers last
That
year.
is the most correct thing you've ever said on this podcast. That would be nice. I agree.
That's like best case scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
But last year, you look at the numbers and like they just weren't very impressive. And you got to talk about too, in the first part of that schedule, he had no rushing game whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, State was really struggling to run the football. I think at this stage, you can feel fairly confident about the running game this year. I think they're going to be able to block it fairly well, and you've got a good stable of running backs. He should have – that should change a lot of the direction of the offense. You know, a lot of people talked about, well, Shapen wasn't very impressive last year when he was in there. Well, he hadn't – it was one-dimensional. They couldn't run the football.
Yeah.
Look at the Arizona State game and, like, some of the games early on the schedule. They could not run the football, and that affects everything for you. And it affects that offense, especially because Jeff Lebby wants to be able to run the football and run it well.
When I look at this, at the stats for last year, I mean, combined passing yardage, right, between here's something that'll make you'll laugh at this. Ready? Three guys had passing yards for Mississippi State last year. Michael Van Buren, Blake Shapen, and who else?
Wasn't Chris Parson?
Yeah, Chris Parson on the season was 0 for 2.
Who threw a pass? Jake Weir?
Nick Barmira.
Oh, yes, the fake punt.
He had a fake punt. He's 1 for 1 for 11 yards on the year. But
was that a first down?
I don't know. I don't remember the context.
Was that against Ole Miss?
Did they fake a punt for a first down in that game? I think they did.
I think they might have.
Might have. I'd have to go back and look.
I think I remember him celebrating.
Let me see if I can find the
There hadn't been a lot of successful fake punts in Mississippi State history. I remember one that was just an absolute disaster by Logan Cook, and he could actually throw the football a little bit.
Mullen had the worst feel for when to fake a punt than anybody else I've ever seen.
It was always on their own 25.
Yeah. So Van Buren and Shapen combined basically for 2,860 yards passing last year, 19 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. Not terrible. The difference is that Shapen was completing 68.5%. I guess you could round that up to 69%.
Nice.
And Van Buren only completed 54.7% of his passes. So if I can get the same yardage at a 60-plus percent completion rate, I'm feeling pretty good. And then, as you mentioned, the running game, only 1655 on the season last year. I expect that number to be much higher.
And look at how much of that came, like, in the back half of it.
I would say that after the Georgia game was when they finally started being able to run the football a little bit.
Like Davon Booth, I think, had like 100 yards three of the last five games or four of the last five, something like that.
So if you look at Booth,
it really came on late.
Yeah, Booth's rushing yard by game, 39.7. You mentioned that Arizona State game, just a disaster. 12 against Toledo, just awful.
Ugh.
Was okay against Florida, 75 yards, 59 against Texas, 32 against Georgia. Then he really starts to pick it up. 79, 93, 76, 125, 124. Didn't play well against Ole Miss, but that was the number one rushing defense in the country last year.
Yeah.
State will be better running the football from the start of the season this year, I believe, which should open things up for the passing game. But at the same time, they shouldn't have to rely on the passing game as much. So I won't be surprised to see that passing number drop down from 29 to 24, 23, but that rushing number go up to 2,021. And if that's the case, you should be fine. You should be fine.
Yeah. I wanted to see Van Buren run like the read more last year.
Never ran the ball. Very rarely did he run the ball.
And it didn't make any sense. I thought that could have been a dynamic of the offense that could create a lot of issues for opposing defenses, and they just never did it. They did it more with Blake Shapen. They didn't do it a ton, but they did it more.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, you don't really want him taking a lot of hits this year, so that's not something that you really want.
I was just about to say is like, that's the thing that worries me the most about what you're looking at offensively this year is that when Levy's had his most success, it was with the quarterback giving him a little bit more in the running game. Now, Dylan Gabriel didn't give him a ton, but Corral did. I mean, yeah. Corral was our leading rusher his last year at Ole Miss. So,
and a lot of that was probably he just saw play breakdown down the field.
He's a scrambler. Yeah.
And that's what Shapen can do. I mean, if he sees a lot of grass ahead of him,
He just got to be more careful about when he's, you know, instead of, you see the defender coming in, just slide.
Just slide
just
down.
Slide. Just get out of bounds. Just don't, you don't have to take that guy head on. You don't. So if he can do that, everything, you know, starts with staying healthy. If he stays healthy, this offense lends itself to good numbers. I mean, if we had gotten 12 games of Blake Chapin last year, and he had thrown for 2,871 yards and 19 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, those are great numbers. They're fine. You know, if he completed, you know, 62-63% of his passes, we're not complaining about any of that. You know, in all likelihood, you probably win a couple more games. But as it is, you know, you had the freshman in there, and he just wasn't as accurate. And I mean, then that's the way. Van Buren's such an interesting guy. I'm interested to see how the rest of his career unfolds. I don't see him being at LSU another year. Like, I feel like LSU will just recruit over him, or they'll go into the portal and they'll get somebody.
Well, he's just not – to me, he's just not an LSU guy. Like, I just don't – I don't know. Like, there's –
he's not built like Jaden Daniels was.
But that's the thing about Jaden Daniels is, like, he was willing to – he was a dual threat guy. Right. And I thought I think early on was probably a little more run first. He didn't look as comfortable in the pocket. Like, but he's also like, it feels like he was built a little different. Michael Van Buren just doesn't really look the same. I don't know. That seemed like a strange fit to me.
Yeah, I agree.
It just feels like that might be a situation where he does get recruited over or something. Yeah.
But for Mississippi State, like I said, this is a good room. You've got talented guys in there. You don't have a ton of experience behind Chapin, but you know, Croman Hawk has started Power 5 games, and Taylor physically ticks all the boxes. So, I mean, you might not believe it, but I'm excited to see these guys. I think that they can be good for Mississippi State. I think State can be good offensively this year. I've been saying this for the past couple of weeks. I don't think I've talked about it here on this show. I know I did it on my live show, Robbie, but I had an interview last week with Cube, Mac and Cube, right? And they had me on to talk football, and I think I answered three or four questions, and they were all about the offense. And yeah. I was just really surprised by that, because I was just like, guys, I'm not too terribly worried about this offense. I mean, the offensive line is a concern. But by and large, with Lebby, you know, he's got some credit in the bank. I'll buy into this team being good offensively. They didn't ask about the defense at all. And I was just surprised by that, because that's, for me, everything for this football team. But
Their thought process is probably the defense we know is going to be bad. So can the offense, that's been our thought process too. Like, can the offense be that good to where they can overcome their defensive miscues? Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm holding the offense on a different standard, because I know the defense is not going to be good.
Yeah, I'm excited for the quarterbacks. I think they're going to be good this year. I think State will get good quarterback play, and quarterback play will not be the reason they lose games in 2025. So this is a good room. It's not the best room. You know, the running backs are that, and we'll talk about them later this week. But you've got a guy in Chapin who could start at other SEC schools. Chapin could start, you know, not everywhere, but he could start if he was the quarterback this year at Ole Miss or at South Carolina. He would be productive there. I don't have any doubt in my mind about that. So I think he's a good player, and I'm excited to see what he looks like in 2025. All right, let's move into our SEC predictions. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoke Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, and the Older Brother. I will be at the Older Brother on Wednesday without, unfortunately, Robbie Falk. I have some family coming into town. Family business, if you know what I'm saying.
I understand.
Yeah.
Is an Augustinelli going to be there?
Not the one you know, though.
Okay. I was about to say, if it was Steven, then they might as well.
If it was Steven, you would be invited. But
they might as well shut it down for the day for a private event or something. Like, we can't handle anyone else.
Hey, Dad, and Augustinelli are coming in here? Somebody start slicing more bread.
Y'all both try to get in there so fast, you like wedge yourself through the door together.
Somebody bring me some butter so I can get greased up here. Get out of here. Well, all that being said, I look forward to a delightful lunch on Wednesday. You can have a great meal anytime you want. It's just as simple as that. Go to the Cotton District and enjoy a meal at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Get the other one in there. Tell her what to say. Make her do it.
She's watching
Dawn?
A movie.
Oh,
she
okay.
Didn't even hear me yelling for a bottle.
Okay.
But
Great
thank God I got a
products.
6-year-old that can fix a bottle.
That's good stuff. That's good parenting.
It is.
Great, great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. Look at that smile. They've been doing it for 50 years.
I've been spit up on 50 times today.
If you need, I don't know what they can do for you on that account, but Robbie, if you need a new copier or printer, Advantage Business Systems can take care of that for you, and they will. And they've been doing it for a long time, and they know how to take care of their customers after the sale. It's nothing to it. There's nothing to it. Look at that face. There's nothing to it. Oh, we're about to get a burp. You unmute. I want to hear that thing. I want to hear that burp. Our poor sponsors today. They're like, what's going on? Well, if you need a new copier, a new printer, you know who to call. Advantage Business System, 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville, you need to shop at Maroon & Co. If you're not going to be in Starkville, you need to shop maroonandco.com. Whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, maroon and white, it's right there at Maroon & Co. They've got the logos that you want, the interlocking, the state script, the M over S. If it's clothes, if it's something for your car, your tailgate, whatever it is to let people know you're a Bulldog, Maroon & Co. has it. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off on regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, you need to go to Maroon & Co. If you're tired of being out in the yard all day long on these hot July Sundays and Saturdays, the easiest thing to do is put some John Deere power at your back. And you can do that with a trip to Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. Commercial mowers, gators, tractors, it's all right there for you at Scruggs. Everything you need to make your weekend work. If you're talking about you got to do stuff in the yard, if you're a gardener, if you're a grillsman, if you got repair projects around the house, literally everything you need is right there at Scruggs. And hey, if you're an outdoorsman as well, like I'm just telling you, everything you need is at Scruggs. I can't make it any. Hey, look, if you just want a cold beer, they got that at Scruggs too. So a trip to Saltillo needs to be on the list of things to do this weekend. Head over to see our friends at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. The Texas Longhorns.
Hook.
Great season.
That was a wolf pack, but
that's more of a wolf pack, yeah. Great season a year ago. First year in the SEC. Makes the SEC championship game. Lost twice to Georgia in the regular season and in the SEC championship game. Then lose to Ohio State in the college football playoff semifinals.
Probably had the best playoff game of anybody, didn't they?
They did with Arizona State.
Arizona State?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that, I mean, that had to easily have been the best game.
Yeah, it's not even close, really.
The national championship was a disaster.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. So, Arch Manning will be the fourth Manning to play at Davis-Wade Stadium. Previously, let's see, Archie went 1-0 in Starkville. Peyton 0-1 in Starkville.
Even though he wasn't a starter.
He did, but he played the majority of the game.
He did.
And then Eli 1-1. So we'll see what happens with Arch.
But that first one was really bad.
For Eli?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, State beat him up that game. He threw three picks in that game.
Three interceptions.
Yeah.
Darren Williams, rest in peace.
No, not Darren Williams.
Didn't Darren Williams have an interception?
He went on the team. He was still in high school. It was Corey Banks had two and Demetric Wright.
Corey Banks was the one.
And Demetric Wright. DW.
Derek Williams was what, 03?
He's 02. He was a freshman on the next year's team.
02, 03.
Yeah.
04.
And then gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Corey Banks, the legend.
Corey Banks. So Banks, I always remember this. This is the 02 Egg Bowl. State lost that game, but he was wearing a Confederate flag do-rag under his helmet. I was just like,
really?
Just taking shots. I loved it.
I was at that game. I was sitting in the end zone.
Cold. So cold that day.
It was really cold.
Yeah. All right. Texas starts the year off with maybe the game of certainly the game of week one. I mean, it's between LSU, Clemson, and this one. They travel to Ohio State. Big noon kickoff. Huge game.
That's awesome.
I mean, you and I are going to be sweltering in Hattiesburg while that game's going on, but it'll be all right.
Yeah, no one will be watching the state Southern games.
Like, literally, everybody's going to watch the end of College Game Day because it's the last one ever for Corso, and then they're going to flip channels.
Yeah.
Fine.
Hey, it's fine.
It's fine.
I get it.
I think it's going to be tough to win on the road. I'm going to give this one to the Buckeyes.
Oh, yeah. And that's still going to be a really talented team. They lost a lot, but.
I mean, they still got Jeremiah Smith. What else do you need, right?
Yeah.
Then it's three straight non-conference pushovers for the Longhorns. San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston. I'll give them wins in all those. Off week, and then they're at Florida. I think we've already predicted this game, and we both took the Longhorns.
Yep. Not very high on Florida, but.
I am not. I'm also not very high on their next opponent, Oklahoma. This is, you remember last year, Texas had the easiest schedule. They only played one tough game, and it's really the same again this season.
Outside of Ohio State, I mean, it's.
Yeah, Ohio State, but none of their conference
Georgia.
schedule is weak.
Georgia will be tough.
Yeah. They'll beat Oklahoma. At Kentucky, win. At Mississippi State, win. Vanderbilt, win.
You're down for dogs?
Huh? Yeah. They have the off week before they travel to between the hedges to take on the Georgia Bulldogs. You're going to have
Georgia,
to
call. Georgia won this at.
They did. And that was a game where an official changed a call because of a riot. Didn't know that was in the rules. But so call me crazy. I have the horns here.
Oh, in Athens?
I'm going to take Texas to get revenge here.
Huh. I'm going to go with Georgia. That's such a difficult place to play. When was the last time they lost at home?
It's been a while. I don't even know. I think it's 2016, something like that.
And this, you know, that's going to be pretty good atmosphere because it'll be
serious now.
At the very worst, it'll be 3:30 p.m. But by the fourth quarter, that'll be a night game.
Yeah, I haven't seen the. I can't remember the what it is.
It's a flex.
It's a flex. Yeah.
Yeah. So at the
Let's
worst,
see.
It'll be 3:30. But it's probably
right, so Notre Dame. So in Georgia, lost at home to Georgia Tech at the end of the 2016 season. Okay.
I forgot about that.
All right. So the next year, they only lost two games. That was on the road, and then that was the national title game. 2018 at LSU, and then two neutral site games. 2019, they lost at home to South Carolina. That's their last home loss.
Wow, 2019?
Yeah, they lost to a bad South Carolina team. That's weird.
That's a very difficult place to play, man.
Yeah, I agree.
But I mean, every SEC place except for Vandy is.
I got them winning. So then you have their final two games. They host Arkansas. And then on Black Friday, Friday night, they'll host Texas A&M for the first time since 2012. I say 11-1, and you're saying 10-2.
Does everyone have a sponsor for games?
Some like of these the games, yeah. Like the A&M game has a sponsor.
Sponsored by American Airlines. And Texas A&M is sponsored by Cotton Holdings Lone Star. Well, I guess that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Cotton Holdings Lone Star Showdown.
So the Arkansas game is sponsored by American Airlines?
Yes.
That means it'll be scheduled to kick off at 7, but it'll actually kick off at 9:10.
There you go. That's a good
And they will lose your luggage. So.
Yes, they will. And then the Vandy game is presented by HEB.
I mean, I hear HEB is awesome. Well, never been. All right, who are we going to get next week? South Carolina?
Sure. All right. Let's talk about the Beamer.
We'll do it. All right, tomorrow is the
Rumblings. Hopefully the 20 seconds of my child crying
Didn't hear any of it.
So, oh, good. The pitch was so high, it didn't reach the microphone. That's good.
It's fine. All right, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. You know what to do. Get us your questions in, and we will answer them. Talk to you guys tomorrow. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi. You better read the signs, respect the law and order, use of high time.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.